About the lesson that I wrote on the board, God's great statements. No doubt you see that on the board and you think, Donnie, that's a broad topic, because God has made throughout all the pages of the Bible, 66 books in the Bible, a lot of great statements, and He has. But this evening I want us to think for just a little while about some great statements that God made concerning some individuals. And as we go through these handful of examples, outlines are in the back, seven or so, I want you to think about you. Would God say these things about you? Would He say them about me? And the first one that I want us to think about is probably the shortest eulogy that's given in all of the Bible. Sometimes you go to funerals and maybe the preacher's long-winded. I sometimes get long-winded too, so I can't say anything negative about that. But sometimes funerals are not short. And I'm thinking about a time in the Bible when God said perhaps the shortest statement, but a great statement, when a great servant of His died. Would you happen to know who that is? Don't answer out loud. But we read it in the book of Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 2, when God said, "My servant Moses is dead." If that could be said about me at my funeral, "God's servant Donnie is dead," and nothing else said, that is a great statement. Moses is someone whom the Bible says that God spoke face to face, as an individual speaks with his friend from Exodus chapter 33 and then verse 11. That Moses was the meekest of all the men upon the face of the earth, Numbers chapter 12 and in verse 3. And as you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, though he could have had at his disposal in his luxury and his pleasure all the things that Egypt could afford him, the Bible said that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Could it be said of you when it comes your time that your earthly pilgrimage is over, that God's servant, you fill in the blank, is dead? What a great statement said about Moses. And when you think about all the things that Moses accomplished for God, there's a lot that could be said about Moses. But I think that's the greatest statement that could be said about Moses, a servant of God. Number two, as you think about God's great statements, I think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. And the Bible has a lot to say about Abraham. In fact, you could do a whole series on what the Bible says concerning this individual. He's one of the five primary individuals of the book of Genesis. But I'm thinking about a statement, and there's a lot made in the book of Genesis about Abraham, but I'm thinking about one in Genesis chapter 18. And in verse 19 is one that came to my mind as I wrote this sermon. We're going to begin with verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with him to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now there's a threefold promise that was made to Abraham: the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise. But that's not the statement that I'm after. That stands out to me as I think about God's great statements. It's in verse 19. God said, "For I know him." What do you know about him, Lord? "That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So when I think about God's great statements about individuals, and I think about a great statement that God made about Abraham, I think about God saying, "I know him, that he will command his children and those after him, and that they'll keep my word." So I ask you, as I ask myself first, could God say that about me? Could God say that about you? "I know that he will command his children." In Hebrews 11, as we talked about this morning, Abraham's mentioned in James chapter 2, as we read in the sermon this morning, James chapter 2 and in verse 23. In Proverbs 22 and then verse 6, bring up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's older, he'll not depart from it. And surely God knew that Abraham would do that very thing. Fathers, teach your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. I know him, that he'll command his children. But then I can't help but to think about Job. I alluded to Job in the sermon this morning because of what Job said. I brought nothing into this world. I'll carry nothing out. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 1 verse 21. But think about God's statement concerning Job in Job chapter 1 and in verse 8. I don't know how many people lived on the earth during the time of Job. I don't know. Some have said that Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. I don't know that. I know that there's evidence in the book of Job itself that it was written during the patriarchal time because Job made sacrifice on behalf of his children, which wouldn't necessarily have been done during the time of Moses unless he wasn't among the Hebrew people. But nonetheless, in Job chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" That's akin to what he said about Moses. My servant Moses is dead. But have you considered my servant Job? Where had Satan been during this time? Well, the text tells us, going back up to verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. A good friend of mine, I've got a copy of it. If you want a copy, I'll give you one. It's a very good series of lessons, a good packet, titled, When Satan Came Among God's People. And this is one of the passages that's used in that lesson, but it's a very good study. And the Lord said among Satan, or said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. Remember when Peter wrote and said, Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's walking to and fro in the earth. Then the Lord said in verse 8, said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Would God say that about you? There is none like, and put your name in the blank, none like Ethan, none like Jacob or Ray, all the way around the room. That'd be a great statement if God could say that about us. A perfect and an upright man. That doesn't mean, by the way, that he never committed anything wrong. Now, later on, when his friends who were miserable comforters tried to comfort him, what they did is try to blame him. And try to say, Job, what are you talking about? No one who does good suffers like you're suffering, so therefore it has to be brought upon you for something that you've done. And Job said, not so. I'm not a perfect individual, but I know that I've not done anything to bring this upon me. But he didn't have the context that we have. He didn't know the conversation that God and Satan had. But a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, shunned evil, disregarded, didn't have no fellowship, as Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then a similar statement's made in Job chapter 2 and in verse 3. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I hope that could be said about me. Have you considered my servant, Donnie, that there is none like him in the earth? That'd be a great statement if God could say that about me and about you too. But then I think about David, who the Bible describes in Acts 13:22, the Lord said that he is a man after my own heart. And we know that David wasn't a perfect man. We know that he did wrong. And he talked about the wrong that he did in Psalm 51, which is really a psalm where he's repenting toward God. He's pouring out and crying out unto God to forgive him for what he did wrong. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. But he was a man that was described as being a man after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel, he's described in 2 Samuel 23 and in verse 1. Could it be said of you and me that we are people who are after God's own heart, that we want to do what God says to do as revealed in the Bible? Nothing more, nothing less. Just simply a New Testament Christian. God knows. I know He knows because the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, Lord, Thou who knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. And the Hebrews writer said that there is nothing naked or hid from the eyes of God, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. But then I think about a man by the name of Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah was told, set thine house in order. Could you imagine receiving that kind of news? People do today. We're giving you a month, 2 months to live, 3 months, go home and take care of things and get things ready, whatever. Hezekiah received a similar statement, a similar word, set thine house in order. And so again, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 20, but there's an interesting statement that even though Hezekiah did wrong before the Lord, I want you to notice what 2 Kings chapter 20 and in verse 4 says. Let's back up to verse 2. That he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. I respect this about Hezekiah because when he was told to set thine house in order, I suppose he could have done a lot of different things. People do. What would you have done? If someone said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And that's what's stated in verse 1. For thou shalt die and not live. He could have done a lot of things, but the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah. Only by the eye of faith can we even possibly try to imagine the condition that this man was in. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he prays to the Lord, Lord, I have walked perfectly before thee. Not that I've not done wrong, that's not what he's saying, but I've walked perfectly. I've striven to do what you would have me to do. I've done that which is good in thy sight. And he wept sore. And before Isaiah was even out to the middle court, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him with another word to send to Hezekiah. Now it's also interesting that God didn't deal directly with Hezekiah. Could God have spoken that word to Hezekiah that Isaiah is now going to deliver? He could have, but he didn't do that. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father. And here's a great statement. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy prayers. Go up unto thy house. You're going to live. And in addition to that, the Lord says, I'm giving you 15 more years. I think that's a great statement to encourage all of us that God hears our prayers. John 9:31, God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, doeth his will, him he heareth. Proverbs 28:9, whoso shall turn away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination toward God. The ears of the Lord are open unto the righteous, open to their prayers. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open in their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12. Two more examples. I think about Genesis chapter 6. I told you there was five major people in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 has one of them. And 7. And that's Noah. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. In Genesis chapter 6, God said unto Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Then he gives them the instruction on how to do that. In verse 22, the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to some of what God had commanded him. Is that what he said? According to all that God commanded him. Didn't leave anything out. So did he. That makes a good sermon too. I've underscored in my Bible, so did he. But then you come to chapter 7 and in verse 1 for God's great statement concerning Noah. The Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house. By the way, it's a good example if you don't have it marked in your Bible to show that house stands for the members of a house, a household, into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Could it be said of you that God has seen righteousness in you in this generation? Well, children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. Noah was seen by God as an individual who did that which was right. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5, he's described as, you know, as a preacher of righteousness. Don't preach what you don't live. Noah lived it and preached it. I know so because God says, I've seen you do righteous in this generation, and he was a preacher of it. So he preached that which he practiced. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, as mentioned this morning, by faith Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You need those two passages to prove that point that house stands for household. And again, that's Hebrews 11 and verse 7 and Genesis 7 verse 1. I just throw that in while we're here because you need that. One more point. If you was putting together the sermon outline and you had 6 points on there, but you wanted a 7th or more, what would you put? You think through the Bible and think about some of God's great statements concerning individuals. I think about Jesus when God said concerning him, Matthew chapter 3. The context is Jesus was being baptized with John in the Jordan. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God as a dove came from heaven, lighted upon him. And a voice from heaven which said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Could that be said of you and could that be said of me that God is well pleased with what we're doing? Hear ye him, Matthew 17:5. What about you this evening? As we think about God's great statements and we think about Moses, Abraham, Job, David, Hezekiah, Noah, and Jesus, and there's others in the Bible you could put on the list, no doubt. What would God say about you? Have you obeyed the gospel? Most of you have done that very thing. You've done what the Bible says in order to become a Christian. But there may be some in our midst today who have not obeyed. You have an opportunity to do that. A beautiful day that God has blessed you with. Why would you spurn the invitation? One day God's long suffering is going to be no more. The long suffering of God that allows men and women to be saved, 2 Peter 3:15, will be no more. It'll be over. The doors of opportunity forever shut, Matthew chapter 25. For they that were ready, prepared, went in. Will you be in or out? Will you die in the Lord, out of the Lord? Will you die with hope or no hope? It's up to you. You have to decide that. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Exactly what they did in the New Testament. Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your wrongdoing, your sin. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and then verse 16. Maybe you have done that, but you've not done right. Things amiss in your life and you want to straighten all that up. Be restored. We want you to be restored too. And God does too. That's why He made provision for it. Acts 8 and 1 John 1:9. Don't delay. Come right now.